So even in that conversation with the woman from Saudi Arabia, you can hear it. Change is afoot in large parts of the world, and in many places, the promise of change has become the expectation of stalemated armies, stateless chaos and poverty, and the absence of any political voice. Is Libya out of danger right now? And are Yemen and Syria, where desperate governments are battling their own angry people, are they beyond the reach of the international community? And what of places like Somalia and Congo, where millions live with no government, no prospects, and no support from the international community? Joining us now is Chester A. Crocker, professor of strategic studies at Georgetown University and an expert in intractable conflict. He's a former assistant secretary of state for African affairs during the Reagan administration. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning.
As you look around the landscape of change in the world right now and think of the phrase that you coined or helped to coin back during the Reagan administration, constructive engagement, which helped you to have influence in South Africa and in Namibia, do you think constructive engagement is a relevant term for our era?
I think you see it in many parts of the world. We don't always use the term, but that's what we do when we try to sort out our relationships, even with big powers that cause us some issues, like China, for example. Constructive engagement is really an approach for testing the parties to see if they can make choices for a political settlement. it means that what you're doing is asking them what-if questions. What would it take to get you to a settlement? And it's only useful if you have parties that you can look at and say they're sufficiently coherent and they're sufficiently aware of the stalemate they're in that they might listen to you. So I'm not sure that it's a relevant concept in a place like Somalia where you don't necessarily have coherent parties.
In many ways, your portfolio during the Reagan administration as Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs was dealing with very powerful people, but who realized that they were in something of a historical conundrum and that it wasn't sustainable. That was certainly the case for the apartheid regime in South Africa and for the people that controlled Namibia. Both of those conflicts you helped to resolve. Is the 21st century going to be more about nations like Somalia and Congo, these sort of stateless places where there is no one even to speak to?
Yeah, just to go back to Southern Africa for a minute, I mean, we were dealing also with Cuba and with Angola and with other parties, so it was quite a complex mix. The 21st century, of course, is ever more a century, a time when we see domestic civil strife or internal strife, sometimes spilling across borders, and that's what makes it so extremely complicated. We think of a place like Chechnya, which is, a very small place, but its conflict is spilling over the entire North Caucasus and into Russia proper. So sometimes these nasty little internal situations have a way of metastasizing into something much worse.
Would you say that Chechnya, a situation that you described there, very, very well, is more like Syria right now, where Putin is trying to keep the lid on Chechnya and Bashar Assad is trying to keep the lid on his own insurgency that seems to be broadly expressed inside Syria?
There's something akin to it. I suppose the difference is that in the case of Russia and Chechnya, this is becoming almost like a colonial conflict, and Putin's approach to it is making it worse. He's actually aggravating it by tough talk and by a refusal to recognize the core of the problem. And as a result, the rebels are claiming to speak not just for Chechens, but for people in Dagestan and Ingushetia and other parts, even Muslims inside of Russia proper. In Syria, of course, it's the Assad regime against its own people. Within the borders of Syria so far, but it has regional ramifications because, the Israelis are very concerned and watch closely. The Turks watch very closely. In fact, the Turks are extremely worried, I think.
In general, looking at this from sort of the Washington perspective, do you think, and there was a discussion of this during the George Bush administration, that the U.S. had lost a certain amount of credibility and that might bear on its ability to influence events in places like Beijing and places like Somalia. What's your assessment? With the experience that you have, do you think America is on a declining track of international influence or remains as credible as ever, particularly united with coalitions like the Europeans, NATO, the United Nations, for instance?
Well, my take is that we don't want to own all these problems, but we do want to be able to be a responsible participant, and where it's appropriate, we can take a lead, or we can sometimes let others take a lead. So I'm not looking to see the U.S., and I don't think the American people are, or our government, are looking for us to be out front on all these things. But if you look at Libya, for example, we made that possible by our support for what started out to be an Arab League call for UN action. And we then supported the NATO's response to the UN decision to authorize the no-fly zone. But we didn't take the frontline lead on a daily basis. We did some initial heavy lifting, and then we let our leading European partners take the lead from there. That might be an example. If you look at Yemen, which is a very interesting case, the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC, has taken the lead in formulating a transition plan, but with a lot of U.S. support behind the scenes.
And do you think that, Saudi Arabia is also very influential in Yemen. Do you think 5 years from now it's more likely that there will have been revolutionary change in Yemen or revolutionary change in Syria?
Well, I guess probably I'd have to guess, and this is nothing more than a guess, that it would be Syria. Yemen is in the middle of four different conflicts. One is against the regime, but you also have the al-Qaeda challenge to the authority there. You have the northern rebels called the Houthis, who are a tribal secessionist movement. And then you have southern secessionists in the south of Yemen. So there's a bunch of different things going on there. And it quite well could continue at a low level for some time to come.
I wouldn't have expected you to say Syria, but that's certainly something to think about for the rest of today. Chester A. Crocker, thanks so much.
You're most welcome. Good to be with you.
Chester Crocker is professor of strategic studies at Georgetown University, an expert on intractable conflict. He's the former Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs during the Reagan administration. Throughout the morning, we've been talking about the president's declining ratings. They're at their lowest level.
Hi, this is Kevin from Oxford, Mass. He needs to grow a spine. He's been folding to the Republicans left and right. Time for him to stand up and do what's right.
Join the conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE or head over to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste is out all week. This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.